Lies, Vigilantism, and Lycanthropy. A Mad Foggy Fic, written by Marv with a V and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. Werewolf and vigilante Matt Murdock resigns himself to spending Christmas alone. Fortunately, Foggy has other plans. Are you even really human? The words haunted Matt, and he sat bolt upright, drenched in sweat in spite of the wintry weather outside. It was New York in December. It was cold, and Matt wasn't. He never was, not anymore. He'd run hard for a long time now, since he had been about 11 years old, since Dick bit him and marked him as one of his pack, the Chased. He supposed Foggy had a point. There was a time about once a month, yes, he'd heard that joke already, when he was decidedly physically not human. If he had a choice in it, he would be, of course. It wasn't as if he enjoyed his transformation. In fact, he dreaded them. Certain individuals like Stick, who had endured decades of forced transformation, had learned to control it, to master the wolf, to resist the moon's pull. Matt hadn't yet managed it. Stick was supposed to teach him to control it. Indeed, he'd promised to, once, a long time ago. Matt's humanity had gotten the better of him at the time, so said Stick, who was hardly an expert on the subject. Stick had left, and Matt had managed his transformations as best he could, on his own, with only the memories of Stick's instructions. Meditation was crucial to mastering the wolf. Try as he might, however, the wolf remained unmastered and Matt lived in constant fear and dread of moonrise. He often prayed for a lunar eclipse, for the moon to move into the Earth's shadow, but no such luck. He spent many moons as a teenager sat inside the crypts beneath Clinton Church. Caging the wolf kept them all safe. That was certainly the opinion of Father Lantham, who tried to help him but couldn't possibly understand. The more caged the wolf was, the more his agitation and frustration fueled Matt's own. The first transformation he experienced away from Clinton Church, away from cold stone and old bones, was freeing. He was in college then. He sneaked out to the disused football stadium overgrown with weeds and let the moon overshadow every part of his body and mind. After years of being caged, the wolf was free. And he wasn't something to be feared, as Matt had been taught by Father Lantham in his youth. As the wolf, he was more guided by instinct, of course, driven to run, to hunt, and chase down prey. The first time he surrendered to that instinct, the prey he chased down was a child molester. It was in the papers 2 days later. Young Father Malt, police hunt dog with the devil in him. They never found him because, of course, by the next morning he was back in his bed and all too human. Just another intern who'd hit the club scene a little too hard because his boss was working him into the ground, supposedly. Of course, it was different now. After he chased once, he never wanted to stop. Hell's Kitchen gained two mysterious crime fighters and named them aptly, the Devil and his dog, the Dreadhound of Hell's Kitchen. The average Hell's Kitchen resident couldn't spot a werewolf if they fell over one, but Foggy could. He was furious about it, and that was when he spat the words at him. Are you even really human? Matt, of course, had spent enough years pondering that question that he knew the answer. He didn't doubt his own humanity. Whether as a wolf or a human, he'd never taken a life. He knew there was a line, but Foggy didn't. It was the worst fight they'd ever had, and 6 months on, Matt still didn't know which part of it bothered Foggy most. The lies, the vigilantism, or the lycanthropy. If it was the first, he owed him an apology. Dozens of them, in fact. If it was the second, he had his reasons, but he wouldn't justify himself. If it was the third, he never wanted to speak to him again. They didn't speak. For months, Nelson and Murdock struggled on, clients now represented by one partner or the other, but not both. Matt's business remained his own, and Foggy remained distant. Karen was bewildered by the change between the two, and Matt couldn't explain and risked losing another friend over it. Perhaps most intriguing was the fact that Foggy refused to explain. Ask him, was all he ever said. By the time Christmas rolled around, Matt didn't feel much like attending the Nelson and Murdock Christmas party on the first Saturday of the month, which was really just himself, Foggy, and Karen doing shots at Josie's. Of course, with the full moon rising that same night, there wasn't a chance Matt would be attending anyway. The night wasn't a total loss, however. He was able to stop an assault, terrorize a money launderer, and mold 5 human traffickers. The reverse transformation to human form was painful as ever, with bones breaking and snapping into place, his skeleton morphing into a form that was painful and familiar. He counted himself lucky that he was able to drag himself all the way to his apartment. He'd heal in about a week. By Tuesday, he'd be back in the office, helping clients, avoiding Foggy and planning a very quiet Christmas. His first without Foggy's extended family in some years, since he presumed that with things as they were, Foggy wouldn't want him there. He collapsed on his bed in the pre-dawn hours, waking with a start to those familiar words, the words that haunted him. "Are you even really human?" He sighed and would have burrowed back under the pile of blankets and silk sheets had a knock not come from his door. He raised his head and sniffed, able to discern who stood in the hallway with minimal effort. Foggy. He smelled like clean cotton, coffee beans, and coconut. He always had. He smelled like old habits, like freshly pressed shirt, coffee in the morning, and the same body wash he'd been using since Matt had known him. Foggy Nelson didn't change. He also didn't drop by unannounced. He well remembered the last time Foggy had been in this apartment. It was the morning after his fight with Nobu, when Foggy had found a bleeding and badly injured wolf on the floor of his boyfriend's apartment and been present for the painful transformation back. They'd hardly spoken since, so what was he doing here now? Matt groaned and struggled to sit up when he heard the persistent tap at the door again. He didn't want to hear it, he decided. If Foggy had come just to berate him for missing the Christmas party, he could wait. In fact, he could stand in that hallway until the new year as far as Matt was concerned. But Foggy was relentless. "Matt," he called again and again. "Matt, come on, I really need to talk to you." Matt stumbled out of bed and over to the door, jerking it open with a snarl. "What do you want, Foggy?" "I'm a jerk," Foggy said so quickly that Matt's head spun. "What?" he muttered uncomprehendingly. Foggy sighed. "What I said to you, I didn't mean it. Any of it. I was scared and, honest to God, I still am. I'm scared of something happening to you. And I was angry that you lied. But I get what you did." "Yeah, okay," Matt said finally, leaning heavily against the doorframe. It was taking all his strength just to remain upright. He hadn't eaten yet, or had as much as a sip of water. A night under the moon's pull always left his energy reserves dangerously depleted, and he swayed slightly, scrambling desperately for the doorframe, needing something to hold onto and finding Foggy instead. "Jesus, Matt," said Foggy, lowering him to the floor with surprising gentleness as his muscles spasmed painfully. "You can go, Fog," Matt groaned out, gritting his teeth. "I'll be fine. Look, I appreciate that you came by, but I need some time to..." "Lick your wounds," said Foggy, his tone incredulous. "Sorry, it was right there. Come on, buddy, couch." He dragged Matt to his feet, tottering slightly as he struggled to support his weight. To his credit, Foggy didn't drop him or even complain. He took step after unsteady step, supporting Matt all the way to the couch. Matt collapsed gracelessly on it, a curse word slapping from his lips that his priest would rebuke him for if he heard it. Foggy didn't seem to mind, however. He was already dragging a soft blanket over him and smoothing his hair back with such tenderness that Matt wanted to cry. "What are you doing?" Matt muttered uncertainly. "What I should have been doing a long time ago," Foggy declared, his voice resolute. "I'm telling you that I'm sorry. I'm telling you that I worry about you. That it was always about the lies you told me. It was never..." "I can make my peace with everything else." Matt swallowed hard. "Everything?" Foggy just sighed and said, "I don't hate werewolves or vigilantes, Matt." "That's not what I meant, and you know it," said Matt, a low growl escaping him. The moon wasn't all that distant. Mere hours from waxing full, those werewolfish instincts still humming in his blood, weakened and exhausted as he was by two transformations mere hours apart. Foggy seemed to sense the danger because he quickly drew back, and when he didn't flee in terror, but slipped a soft pillow beneath Matt's head instead, he allowed himself to relax, and the wolf retreated into the depths of his mind, peaceful and content. "I love you, Matt. I always have," said Foggy, his tone gentle. "But you lied to me, and that was hard to get past. I don't want to have the kind of life where you're not in it, though. I realized that last night, and then I remembered you said transformations are hell on your body, so I thought I'd see if you were okay. and tell you I was sorry if you'd let me. Matt sighed and allowed a small smile to curve his lips. For what it's worth, I'm sorry I lied. I was afraid of how you'd react. You still should have told me, Foggy insisted, smoothing the blanket over Matt's chest. I should have a choice about who's in my life. Okay, Matt nodded. No more secrets. Good. Now will you let me take care of you? Asked Foggy, with such an air of impatience that Matt almost laughed. If you insist, he said sleepily, snuggling deeper under the soft blanket. I do, Foggy declared stubbornly. Matt hummed contentedly as Foggy leaned down to kiss his forehead and gently stroked his hair, his touch soothing him. Matt's eyelids fluttered and he drifted to sleep within minutes. As he did, he allowed himself to dwell in some very different words, the kind of words that were about to change everything. I love you, Matt. I always have.